of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. We start transitioning here into really sort of a practical section. Ephesians, the first few chapters, we've looked at sort of the doctrine, the belief, right? We talk about what we have in Christ, what Christ did for us. The position, because we're Christians, of the blessings that all come into this. When we get into chapter 5, now it starts putting what we believe into action. James puts it this way, faith without works is dead. I can say all day long I believe something, but unless I do something, the two aren't connected. Right? Last week, I don't know if you guys, I think it was last week, governors had, what day was that? Was that Tuesday? They had the lobster roll, right? Which is, the lobster roll for it was like $6. And so I happened to be out. Actually, I think that was the day I went and saw Jan up at the hospital there. And my wife sent me a text and says, "Hey, today is Governor's Lobster Roll Day." And, you know, I'm not really fancy. We're not, you know, we usually don't do lobster rolls. But for $6, I mean, that's like a McDonald's hamburger, right? And it's so much better. So I was like, "Hey, stop by. Pick it up." You know? And so, you know, it's my job to make supper now, so I had to swing by and pick up some. But, and so he turned around and you know, here I had the facts. Well, officer rolls at governor's for $6, right? I knew that. I believed that. But if I didn't drive over there, it would have done me no good, which I happened to do. And so he swung by, popped in, and actually, if you've been down the one on Broadway, it's insane because they have a tiny little parking lot. I had to park up by TJ Maxx and walk over, but it was worth it. Right? But in here, that's the correlation, right? I believe something, I know something, I have the facts. But folks, we don't have the benefit unless we do it. Right? And sometimes in our lives, you know, most of the time, you know, you talk to, you know, Christians and say, you know, I want to please the Lord. We can say in our lives, "Lord, I want to be like you," right? We get the head knowledge, but the problem is it doesn't follow sometimes in our feet. Right? And so, Ephesians chapter 5, towards the end of the book now, we're getting into some real practical matters. It covers, you know, sort of the battle we have in everyday lives. You get into families, you talk about raising kids, husband and wives. We get into some really nitty-gritty practical things that, look, because I'm a Christian, it should impact my life. And in here, chapter 5, starting in verse 1, we get into this idea of walking, right? We talked about this before. When the Bible talks about walking, it's not talking about just walking down the street. The idea is how we live our lives, right? So your Christian walk is your Christian life. How are you living it out? How are you doing on that? What's the area kind of life that you're kind of walking around in? And in here, down to verse 21, there's three areas and it tells us in which, because I'm a Christian, because I say I believe, it should have an impact on my life. So we're going to go ahead and start reading here. I'm going to start reading verse 1 in chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God, dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for our sweet-smelling aroma." I love how Paul saw it, but here says, look, first of all, what I want you to do is I want you to be an imitator of Christ. Right? That when I'm saved, when you have accepted Christ as your Savior, Christ now comes and lives in you. And while He's in here, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to produce in me a Christ-likeness. Right? That in here, that my character, my values, of all I live my life, should be reflecting that Christ is on the inside. And so in here, our goal, you know, does anyone remember a couple of years ago there was the bracelets, the WWJD? Anyone remember that? Does anyone remember what the WWJD stood for?
What would Jesus do, right? And there was a big trend, I don't know, several years ago. People were all wearing the bracelets. And the idea was that you looked at it, and that was helping you to think, whatever situation you're in, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know, I think it's a wonderful philosophy as we go through our lives, right? If Christ was in this situation, what would He do? Because if I want to be an imitator, if I want to copy Him, right? And copying is the greatest form of flattery. Right? We have a picture at home when Lauren was just, she was a little older than she is now. And as a dad, you know, you kind of have these moments that kind of melt your heart. And I was sitting on the chair. And I was sitting there when you got the footstool, and I was sitting out. I apologize. I don't know how dirty my feet are. Sorry. Yeah, I was sitting there, and I was kind of like this, sitting on the chair. And Lauren would come over, and she'd sit down. And she'd cross her feet just like I had. And she'd stretch out, and she'd just kind of like this. Because she wanted to be what? Like her dad. And it's like, oh, those are the moments you really love them. You know, you get the other moments you're like, argh. But no, this is one of those good moments. Right? And there's other times that I probably don't want her to copy me. You know, all of a sudden, you know, a daughter would say something. It's like, where'd you get that from? It's like, oh, yeah, okay. You got to be careful. But he starts off this passage. Look, our goal in our lives should be to be imitators of Christ. In here, Christ walked a walk of love. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, and offering a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, one of the characteristics that we should have in our lives is a love for the Lord and a love for other people. Right? That's what Christ did. We're going through, I want to encourage you, if you want to come out Sunday nights, we're doing a Bible study. We're going through the book of Mark. I encourage you to come out. It's really kind of a low key. We talk back and forth, ask questions. It's one of my favorite services. So it's not just you listening to me, but we get into the, roll up our sleeves and get into the Word of God. It's really fun. But anyway, we see Christ time and time again move with compassion with the sick and those that are in need. And Jesus comes and meets those needs. And time again, the phrasing that He was filled with compassion, the love that He came. And if I'm going to imitate Christ, then I should be loving as well. And that should be overpouring and flowing out of us. John, 1 John, puts it this way. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." Right? John makes it really clear. We went through the book of 1 John last year. That John makes it clear that in our lives, that look, folks, if we don't love, then God isn't in us. And I need to surrender more to that love of showing kindness and gentleness. Actually, the Bible defines love. Right? We tend to be very particular in our idea of love. I'll love you if, right? We always give conditions, right? You know, husband and wife are that. Well, if you really love me, you would, you know, you would do this. Well, that's all strings attached, right? That's not real love. The Bible defines love like this: love suffers long and is kind. Does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'll tell you, this is a challenging definition of love. Right? Because we tend to go, you know, love is something that makes me happy. Like, I love pizza. Why? Because it makes me happy. Right? For Father's Day, now, I buy my wife chocolate because she likes chocolate. My wife buys me tamales because I like tamales, the hot sauce and everything else, right? Because it makes me happy. I like it. I mean, it's funny because you talk about the idea of love. You know, I'll be sitting down with couples who are planning to get married and say, well, why shouldn't you get married? And they're like, well, because we love each other. Well, what does that mean? Right? Love isn't about what you can do for me. You know, I love how you make me feel. Okay. I love what you can do for me. True love goes deeper and doesn't talk about me, it talks about you. Love says, what can I do for you? How can I put you first? How can I serve you? Love suffers long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Right? I'll tell you, I have a hard time getting past that first definition, right? Because I love you, I'm patient with you. Because I love you, I'm kind to you. All these things in our lives that should reach out. And in here, not that we've all perfected this, but in here that God needs work in our lives and we surrender that work of love in our lives. A love that is characterized by giving and not taking. Because in here, in Ephesians, he goes further. Look at verse 3. It says, but fornicators and all uncleanliness and all covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting of the saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicators or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And in here, he lists some things, some sins in our lives that are contrary to love. And we, you know, I can't help but think and look at this list. These are areas that are just prevalent today in our society. And I dare say that, look, as we get further away from God, further away from what God wants, as we get further away from the teaching and knowledge of who God is, what happens is that idea of love becomes warped. Because God is the source of love. Right? If I want more love in my marriage, I get closer to God. Let Him have His way in my life. The farther I get from that, the more the selfishness comes in, because I'm a very selfish person. Right? Because it's easy for me to say, love is what you can do for me. Right? That's worldly love. In here it talks about fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, filthiness, and foolish talking or coarse jesting. In here, it's interesting because we talk about the idea of sexual sins. And in here, I do this because it makes me feel good. That's not true love. You know, I remember talking to a young man, and he goes, you know, that man, look at that girl. Oh, you know, he's madly in love. No, he's in lust. You know, right? Do you know the person? No. Do you care about them? No. It's just what makes me feel good. Get the hormones going and get everything else, and it's like, oh, this is about satisfying me. Right? Turn up the flesh a few notches and the desire. And in here it talks about the warping or the changing over. Because the flesh becomes self-consuming. It just wants more. In our society, so much of what we talk about love is really just a biological reaction. I was watching a commentary the other day, and they talk about the idea of marriage. And the Bible talks about marriage between one man and one woman for a lifetime. That's God's design. And this person said, oh, you know, I know people will talk about the Bible. He goes, but that's all an old-fashioned type of idea. And so they're trying to get past where they have marriage contracts now, where you're only married for 6 years. And after 6 years, you can come back and renew your license. It's kind of like a fishing license. And they say, well, the problem is divorce is so rampant. People are moving in and out in each other's lives. It goes, it would be just so much easier, because if people say, oh, look, I'm only married for 6 years, Right? If it doesn't work out, I'll just split up after 6 years. Right? We don't need a lawyer because we just don't renew the contract. And people are like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. What? Right? That's a very self-centered love. Is this going to work out for me? No, that's not what marriage is about. Right? Is to serve and commit to someone else in our lives. And it talks about the idea of filthiness and foolish talking and coarse jesting. These abrasiveness of things that I can say what I want to say and how I want to say it, regardless of anyone else. You know, we don't watch a lot of sort of modern TV just because a lot of it is just garbage, if you will. And we turn around and, you know, my wife likes Little House on the Prairie, and, you know, there's some of the channels that play all the old kind of shows. And it's funny because you're watching these things and all of a sudden these commercials come on. And it's like, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you're trying to find the remote and trying to turn it. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, why is this commercial with people not wearing anything and doing things? And why are they putting this on in Little House on the Prairie? Don't you think there's a disconnect, right? But in here, it puts it out. There's no shame today. And actually, he goes on further. He says, look, be careful in these things. Because, look, there are things the Bible says is right and there are things that the Bible says is wrong. Right? And because of love. Look, just because I can say something doesn't mean I should say something. Right? And there's a disconnect there. I always kind of warn couples growing up. I said, you know, and some of you have been married for a long time. This will be 30 years for us. So some of you you're further down the road than we are. So correct me if I'm wrong. But I encourage young couples, I say, look, the more you know each other, the more you are able to destroy that person. You know the secrets, you know the things, right? There are things that you could almost call out the nuclear option on your spouse. And I say, be careful. Be careful. Because there are things that you probably should never say to your spouse. There's areas where you shouldn't go in that you intimately know this person. But be careful. Because in here, you may win, but how can you win when the person that you love is losing? Right? And I'm working on this in my life. Right? But in here, that love supersedes. Love is patient, love is kind in our lives. But be careful, because in here the Bible talks about, look, which things are not fitting. Right? As a Christian, and we've really seen this breakdown today. You don't hear a lot about the idea of holiness anymore. The idea of, look, because I'm a Christian, I should act different. Because I'm a Christian, I should behave different. I should have different actions and motives in my lives. Because I'm a Christian, there's certain things I don't do, even though everyone else does it. Why? And I love this, because they're not fitting for you. Right? There's things that the world does. But you know what? God's called you to something better. There's a better way. And what happens when the world comes in and we act like the world and we do what the world does, is it any wonder we suffer the consequences of the world? Our marriages suffer, our children suffer, the further we get away from what God has asked us to do. It's not fitting, but rather give thanks. Be an attitude of gratitude. We're teaching the kids that in Good News Club. But be thankful. Sing the song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Right? And I can't help but think that in our nation we are so blessed that we've lost gratitude. We just expect. We're raising a whole generation that just expects it has a handout. I deserve it. Why? Just because I breathe. Give it to me. When we realize that we don't deserve anything. But look at all that we have. We have gratitude.
There's a certain warning because look, he says, look, this is how the unsaved act, right? We're different because we have Christ. We know His love. We have a relationship with Him. Right? Because of all these things, it affects us. The world doesn't have that. It says, look, and he tells us in verse 5, and the unsaved don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Here's sort of a sobering thought, because we look at the world today, and basically the idea is if it feels good, do it. And for the unsaved, can I tell you something? That sort of makes sense, because in this world, this world is the best it's going to get for them. The Bible says that an unsaved person, without accepting Christ, when they die, they will go to a hell. Now, God's not willing that any should perish. That in here, He died for the world and offers salvation to everyone. If you will accept Him. But those of you who are here this morning have accepted Christ as your Savior. Look, this world's the worst it's ever going to be. Because we have an eternity. The Bible says there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness. You'll never hear the word cancer. You'll never hear the word terminal. There's no more aches, no more pains. I can't find it, but I'm sure there's no black flies. What a day that's going to be. And even the struggle I go through in this life is nothing to compare to what Christ has for us. So we can live our life in perspective. Right? I mean, I remember hearing people say, being a Christian, it's not fun. You guys are just boring. Can I tell you something? The Christian life is anything but. Actually, if anyone should be the most happy, the most joyous people, that's Christians. Now, we don't always live with that. Right? I mean, I know a lot of Christians who look like they're living off pickle juice. I mean, just walk around as... Right? We made up terms, like the frozen chosen and all these things that talk about how stiff we are. And can I tell you something? That's just hogwash. Because the hope we have in Christ that we can walk in love. The Creator of the universe loves me. Not because I deserve it. Not because I'm perfect, because I'm not. But I can walk around knowing that I am loved. So can you. That because I love Him, it changes. There's things I don't do. Not because I'm afraid of God, but because I want to please Him. I'm motivated by love. And because of that, I want to show Him love back. Right? Ever done something just because your spouse would like it? Right? Why? Because love pouring out puts in the actions. And we see that going on in our lives. And so in here, he starts off this talk of walking and talking with the Lord. And we got to be careful because look, verse 6 turns around and says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Right? He goes on to this list. Look, be motivated by love. Love the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you put God in your life first, seek Him out, seek to please Him. Now, once again, we will all fall short, but in here we try to. Because we're motivated by love. Right? And as we do all that, he says, look, here's a list of things that some of these things you know in your life, that what you're doing, God's not happy with. Right? Just like in a marriage relationship, you turn around and there are things that I do that I know my wife doesn't like. Right? And there are things in my life that I know that I have in my life that I know God doesn't like.
And he turns around and says, look, but don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Right, you can turn on the TV and go to somewhere and you can hear a pastor or a preacher or someone saying, you know, it's okay, live how you want. You can find people who will tell you, you know what, it's okay. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. The Bible's clear on some of the things that you wrestle with and I wrestle with. Right? That in here, the Bible talks about Israel, and oftentimes in their life, when they were wandered away from the Lord, and they had false prophets who were telling them, oh, it's all right. It's okay. You don't have to change. Can I tell you something? You know, I'm not a big Bible thumper. I remember going to a few of the churches and the pastor would sit there and point and, you know, you have this sin and you have, you know, I'm like, you know, let God do the work. But you know what? I go through the passages and, you know, someone said, well, pastor, you know, how come you go through books? And I love to go through books. We're going through the book of Ephesians. Because you know what? There's some passages on here that step on my toes. Right? There are things in my life that, oh, I hold it up to the Word of God and like, oh, I need to change it. Right? And can I tell you something? It'd be so easy to skip it. Right? Oh, here's a part that I'll just turn the page and pretend I didn't see it. Don't laugh. You're the same way. Right? But these things are here for us. And don't be fooled. Because we live in so many days like this where people are telling you what you want to hear. I mean, this past weekend there were parades all over the place where people are shouting and saying, hey, it's okay to do what you want and how you want, and we're proud of it. That's not love. That's not walking in love. You know, because I love my daughter, there's, you know, I tell her, don't play in the road. Well, you're mean, ain't it? No, I love you. I don't want you to be a speed bump. Right? You know, eat your broccoli. My daughter hates broccoli. I don't know how you can, broccoli's great. We're out to eat and I'm trying to lose some winter flab. And so I, instead of french fries, I got broccoli. And so I came, and I like broccoli, and my poor daughter on her plate, apparently they were convinced that she didn't want french fries either, so she got this big, huge plate of broccoli put down in front of her, and her eyes were like this. Right? My daughter, you know, she'd love to eat ice cream for supper every day. Oh, yes, dear, because I love you, I will, I'll fill you with all that stuff. No. Right? Because I love you, eat your broccoli. Right? And in our lives, folks, there are things that I want that are not good for me, and there's things that I desire. But because the Lord loves me, see, the walk in love works two ways. I love Him, but He loves me. And because He loves me, He tells me what I should and shouldn't do. I don't like it sometimes. Right? Beforehand, someone commented and said, pastor, you got a haircut. I got all of them cut. And my big motivator for getting my haircut? Because now I don't have to comb it. Oh, you laugh. I have the straightest hair that you'd ever see. If I let it grow, I would look like one of those trolls. Remember those little troll dolls? My hair would just go straight, and it's wake up in the morning, and it looks like some badger just hibernated on my head at night, right? And so it's going, you wet it, try to slick it down, put gel. I mean, at one point, I was even putting perm solution in my hair to get it to relax. I mean, it's just, it's scary, right? And so, you know, get up in the morning, you know, fight with it, and you got cow licks and everything. You know, and so finally, you know, I'll get to a point where I'm just tired of it. I'd rather go in there because, you know, I'll get up in the morning and my wife's like, you need to go look in the mirror. I don't want to look in the mirror. Right? Because it's so easy to say, it's all right. I don't see my own hair. I don't know what I look like. I'm fine. Now go look in the mirror. I don't want to. Because I'll look in the mirror and it's like, because then you have a choice. And the Bible talks about the Word of God being like a man who stands in front of a mirror, who sees his image, and then kind of walks away. And I have a choice. I can read God's Word and it acts a mirror. And I can see, it's like, I tell you, it's a lot of work to get this pretty. I mean, it's not good. This is as best as it gets. If I didn't do anything, that'd be really scary. No one would ever come. I think, oh man, I gotta wash my face, comb my hair. Or I could just walk away and say, hey, I'm okay. My wife would say, hey, you know, you're walking out the door, you know, I'm going to go visit someone and go to the hospital. My wife would say, you know what? You need to iron that shirt, or you need to pull up, you know, zip up your pants, or, you know, right? She tells these things. Why? Because it's best for me. Right? It wouldn't be good if I just got up and threw something on and walked out the door and my wife be like, yeah, you look great. You look fine. Right? Folks, as we look into the Word of God, be careful of those who will turn around and say, you know what? You can live how you want. Do what you want. God's fine with it. You know what? Go ahead and do what you want. There'll be no consequences for that down the road. That's not love, folks. Be careful. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. What he says is, look, God's going to judge the unsaved. And they act a certain way. But you're the children of God. And because of this in your life, look, behave it. And because of that, you know, there's things in this world that you won't fit in. There's things that the world does that you won't do. You won't be involved in. Not because God hates you, but because God loves you. God, have your way in my life. Now, I mentioned 3 points. It's 11 o'clock. We'll pick things up next week. But next week, we're going to talk the idea of walking in the light. And then we have the idea of walking in wisdom, of how we live our lives, a practical application in our lives for all these things. But walk in love. Practice it this week. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, help me to live a life that's reflective that I'm loved by God Almighty. Lord, help me to love other people. Especially the unlovely ones. You know, there's people that are hard to love. But Lord, love through me. And I'll tell you, people will see a difference in our lives. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of God. Lord, that shines in our lives. Lord, I pray you just work in us that perfect work. Lord, help me to live in the fact that you love me. And Lord, help me to love those around me. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask this in your name. Amen.